Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
How are you guys feeling today? Are you excited? Are you excited on the right? Are you excited on the left? Is anybody excited in the middle? Faith is in the middle of the room. I don't want to say nothing. I don't want to infer nothing, but they're actually in the light. Our tree isn't, but line upon line, right? Faith for faith. Great. Yeah, next week, I bet there'll be a light on that tree. Come on. Let's stretch our faith, everybody. Just stretch your hand towards the tree. No. Even now, Lord, even. If you're visiting today, you're our guest today, I want to just warn you, you've come into a funny service here. This is the time of the year. We're a very young church, and when there's like the end of the semester, people go travel and whatnot, and it can get to be a ghost town around holidays. But what we're doing today, we're in our Revival Life Church series. And in it, we're highlighting areas of our church and our identity, and we're embracing that. And I told everybody, wear your comfy shoes today, because we're worshiping today. We're going to worship God. We're going to go back into worship in a moment. I'm going to talk briefly about worship, but before I do, we do have maps. I don't know if my wife said it or not. We have maps to the Christmas party. Do we have a ticket left? One? Uno. Uno ticket. I say un, and the mom says it's uno. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. A ticket. If you need a ticket, see her. And I bet, you know, if there's two of you, we could figure a way to just sell you a ticket and then tell them later, right? There's got to be at least one extra chicken, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a catering hall. We're out of chicken. I doubt that. There's some at Publix. Go get some. Are you with me on that? Who's going to the party? You ready? I heard some of the acts. How many acts do we have? Seven? Eight? Seven? I bet at least two of them are funny. Ron says they're all funny. I delineate between laughing with and laughing at. But, you know, they'll all make you laugh. They will all make you laugh. If you got a Bible, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Revelation. I'm going to speak very briefly. Then we're going to worship a little bit more. And then our worship leader is going to speak briefly. And then we're going to worship even more. How you doing, Katie? How's life treating you today? Who's your friend? She told me we've never met before. More lies. How you doing, Amanda? You good? I really see God is doing something in your life. And it's really interesting because I was standing right over here playing this amazing 5-string Fender P bass through this Ampeg cap. And as I was doing that... I was caught up in the moment because I'm running it through my Sansamp BDDI. As I was caught up in the moment here, I saw the Spirit of the Lord upon you. Did you feel it? Do you normally go to church or no? It's been a while. God loves that. You know that? God loves that it's been a while. He really likes that. And so sometimes we're like, I can't go. It's been a while. And God's like, I love that it's not been a while. You know what I mean? Like, you know, one of our key people here, Isabel Pedetta, she is in Brazil right now. And I believe it was rebellion. Personally, to not be in service. However, you know, it's been 16 years since she's been back to Brazil. It's a long time, right? And it's just, you know, she's had some issues with, you know, papers and, you know, being able to travel. I think, like many folks, many Brazilian friends I have, it's easy to travel to Brazil from here. It's the coming back that's a challenge. And so they're just like, I'm going to just chill here for a minute until I get to go both ways. And so it's Amanda, right? We're still talking. Don't tune me out. We're having a conversation here. Me and you are dialoguing right now, developing relationship. And so, you know, she left, and it's been 16 years, I believe. Is it 16 years, right? 16? Yeah, 16. And so, like, her mom is there. Is it Amanda? We're still talking. You're, like, getting a water. I'll wait if you need to go to the restroom or something. I'll wait. Well, be well hydrated. Drink your water. That's good. Go ahead. Anyway, so Amanda Isabel, she's in Brazil right now, It's been 16 years since she's been there. Like, her mom is there. Can you imagine not seeing, well, some of you, that's not so bad, but can you imagine not seeing your mom 16 years? Could you imagine? Can you imagine you're like, I can't come back, Mom. It's been 16 years. And it's not even prison. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not your fault. You just can't come back. And can you imagine your mom, you being like, Mom, it's been 16 years. I can finally come back. Can you imagine Mom being like, it's been a long time. So, yeah, it's been, I don't know, 16, it's been a long time. I had a couple other kids. I don't know if there's really, you know. No, what would you do? You'd be pretty excited, right? Throw a feast, yeah? Invite all the neighbors over. Hey, remember that one I've been telling you about? She's coming home. She's coming home. She's coming home today. Right? Right? I got a robe. Got a ring. Killing the fatted calf. Right? I think that's in the... We got to write something Bible about that or something. That'd be a good story. So I really feel today, man, that the Lord is like, she's coming home. But he's very, very excited. He's like, it's been a while. I believe the angels in heaven are rejoicing. I see the presence of God on you, and I think God's going to do something amazing in your life today. You believe that? Is that possible? You believe? You believe something? I believe that, specifically. But if you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to the book of Revelation, if you would. I am going to talk a little bit about worship. I'm going to talk very quickly about worship, and then we're going to go back into worship. I think we talk too much about stuff in church, and we don't do enough doing of the stuff. Are you with me? Next week, we're going to talk about healing. We're going to do that mostly by healing the sick. And so bring the sick. We're just going to do that next week. Just by God's grace, we're going to see people's lives changed. And in church, we do a lot of stuff. We do a lot of teaching to no end. Let me give you an explanation. Imagine you have an uncle, and your uncle is a plumber. Okay, your uncle's a plumber, and he's got a great life, and you say, I'm going to go to plumber school. Okay, you go to plumber school. I think plumbers make good money. It's a pretty good job, actually. You go to plumber school, and you go to plumber school. You're in plumber school for, a couple weeks, and you're like, wow, this is exciting. I'm learning about new tools, pipe wrenches, and water flow, and plumber stuff, how to fill the van and charge a lot of money. I'm learning stuff, right? I'm learning plumber stuff. And you go there a month, and you're like, I know all about this plumber stuff. There's like, yeah, you know some plumber stuff, but there's more plumber stuff to know. You're like, wow, it's amazing. It's a whole new world of plumbing. And you go to different places, and you understand the plumbing, and you see the plumbing, and you see how the plumbing works. And, you meet other plumbers, and you're like, oh, well, I'm studying this, vein of plumbing. And I understand you do that plumbing, but we do this kind of plumbing. And, and then you're there for about a year, 2 years, 3 years in plumbing school. Know about the pipes and the glue and the saws and the trucks and all that stuff. And the one day you go to your teacher and say, hey, when am I actually going to be a plumber? I say, oh, we don't do plumbing anymore. We just study plumbing. Everything that's going to be plumbed has already been plumbed. No more plumbing. Come on back to school because there's more plumbing to learn. Like, why am I learning about the plumbing if we're not actually doing the plumbing? Let me go out and actually, find some plumbing that needs fixed. Oh, don't go seeking broken things. That's dangerous. If you look for broken things, then all you'll see is broken stuff, and then you'll fall away from plumbing completely. That's funny, because I read the book, and in the book it says I repair plumbing. Oh, no, that just book is supposed to tell you that there are plumbers. Not actually to do plumbing. And in the church today, we got a problem with that. We got a problem with that in so many ways. We teach about things that people are never expected to actually do. We'll talk about what worship is, and we'll talk about how they worshiped in the history and in the past and how we're going to worship in heaven. But funny thing is, we talk about what the church used to do, and we talk about what the church is going to do, but for some reason, it's not what we're supposed to be doing right now. But I'm here to let you know that worship is a vital part of our walk with God. And Lillian's going to talk about some of the theological foundations of it a little later. But right now, I just want to provoke faith in you for worship. We don't do worship just so we can be entertained before the great speaker comes up and amazes you with his intellect and his rhetorical skills there. We worship because we want to bring the atmosphere of heaven into the place. Our goal for worship is to bring the atmosphere of heaven near to us. And when one of the worship is a key aspect of our house, because I believe it's in the midst of worship where faith is released. Now, you can get up here and stand next to somebody, and one person's worshiping, and they're getting caught up. They're having visions. They're seeing Jesus. They're feeling themselves being redeemed. They're being overwhelmed by emotion. The other person just standing there, singing songs and looking at their watch. What's the difference? Is it the song? Is it the drummer? Is it the lighting? Is it the lack of air conditioning? It's the heart of the person worshiping. My son is turned 13, and that's him. And I decided, for his 13th birthday, we're going to go through a discipleship process, he and I. We got several aspects of it. I'll write about it and kind of release it. But we're going to go through a year-long discipleship, and at the end, we're going to have a ceremony. And we're going to do some things in the midst of that. But one of what we're talking about, we were talking yesterday, my son and I, and we're reading through the New Testament together over 1 year. And we're discussing what we're reading, and we're in Mark. We were in Mark 4, right? And in Mark 4, we're talking about the parable of the seed, the parable of the sower. An interesting thing about the parable of the sower, the seed never changed throughout the entire parable. The seed never changes. And it's easy to blame your lack of growth on the seed when the parable shows us the only difference is the soil. The only difference is the soil. And you're like, well, how do I know the seed is good? Is it growing anywhere? If it's flourishing somewhere and not in you, then it's the soil. A lot of pastors are very concerned to make their messages the most accessible. And so they get down to the least common denominator. And so all you get is very young plants. I'm looking for oak trees. And oak trees take a while. And what we see in this house is we see people who are maturing into ministers, are maturing into fruitful believers. We see people who are maturing in their gifts and in their graces, and we see people growing in understanding of who God is and his forgiveness and his love and his mercy and understanding his requirement for holiness through a lens of mercy and grace and allowing the Holy Spirit to search the deep things of their hearts to see what is blocking. Why do we want to search the deep things of our heart? Because we want to see what has corrupted our soil. We want to see. I want that seed to hit the soil of my heart, and I want even mediocre seed to grow into a big tree. I do that through fertilizer and water and light. You hear what I'm saying? And so here we are. We strive to have clean worship. We have requirements for our worship team. You can't just be a good guitar player and be on our stage. Why? Because we believe there's something spiritual happening on stage. And you mix good spirit with funky spirit, you get funky. You don't get mediocre, you get funky. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so we try to strive to have holy worship because we believe this worship does something. And so here we are in church, and one person can be overwhelmed by the presence of God, and another person is just bored and not wanting to be there. And I want to kind of shift your expectations today on what we do in worship and what you can expect from it. Now, we worship to bring the atmosphere of heaven here. Now you're like, well, if it was the atmosphere of heaven, there'd be no sin. I understand, you know, and you can pervert any doctrine. Right? So I'm not literally saying that this will become heaven. Right? We understand there's sin. We understand as soon as one of us got in here, it's not exactly like heaven. As soon as one of us joined this church, the church is no longer perfect. Right? Are you with me on this? Let's not get silly. Okay? Let's not just get stupid and nitpick. What we're talking about, though, is we want the grace of God in the room, and we worship to bring an atmosphere of heaven here. And I want to show you three things that I see that you can expect from an atmosphere of heaven in worship. Are you good with that?
Yeah.
Can we do that? I want to run through this quick, all right? So you're taking notes, write stuff down. If you're not, you know, just act like you don't care about any of this stuff and you're never going to think about it again. The first thing that you will receive. Oh, yeah, Chelsea, get in the light. Get in the light, girl. Get in. Can you feel the anointing? There you go, see? The first thing that you receive when you worship God from a pure heart and you engage God in worship is revelation. Revelation. Tell your neighbor, revelation. Tell your neighbor, get a revelation that I'm anointed. Revelation is so important, they named the whole book after it. No, but seriously, John is on a prison island, right? And he says here in John chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 9. He says, I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus. John starts this little epistle, this story, like this, saying, listen, this didn't happen because I'm special. Hear me. This didn't happen because I'm special. I'm just your brother. I'm a fellow servant. I went through tribulation just like you. I've had to endure just like you. I'm just John. You remember me as John. This is just John. This isn't glorified John. This is John. You with me? He says, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and behind me I heard a loud voice like a trumpet. John makes a real point here that it's the Lord's day. It's a day of worship. It's a day of dedication to the Lord. It's not just any other day. It was a time that's set apart to worship God. And he said, here I am in a prison, just a normal guy locked in a prison. But even in this prison atmosphere, I've set apart a day to worship God. I'm not sitting around complaining to God, waiting for him to come and rescue me. He didn't say, me, the fellow servant of Jesus, I was an apostle, forsaken on an island, ignored by the Savior. I worked so hard for him and he did nothing for me. I believe there's people who believe that way and there's no book that they got to write. There's a reason in this book, he says, those who endure to the end. And in this, he's talking about, look, I'm enduring along with you. I'm just another servant with you. But in the midst of this prison camp, I set apart a day that I call the Lord's Day. And on the Lord's Day, in this prison camp, I purposed and I learned how to worship. I applied myself to worship Jesus. And on this Lord's Day, in this prison camp, when I decided and trained myself and made a conscious effort to get in the Spirit, the Lord came and gave me revelation. In this worship, the Lord gave me revelation. Now, I don't know if you know about this, but John is in confinement on an island. But how many of you know he wasn't confined to that island? He was. See, sometimes God has got to get you to the side. He's got to get you tucked away. He's got to get you hidden. You're like, why am I so in the back? Why am I not front and center? I'm here to tell you, some of you, God is trying to put into a corner so he can make your spirit man bigger than what you can see around you. See, when you got the whole world in front of you in your eyes, and you stop looking into the spirit of what's possible. Give me a little more, Ron. I'm starting to lose my voice already. God, I'm getting excited right now. You see, sometimes he will put you in a corner and say, now, son, I want you to dream with me. Begin to worship. And as you begin to worship, as you begin to lift up your voice, as you begin to meditate on who he is and sing psalms, he begins to give you revelation. As far as John knew, he was about to die on an island. That was the end of his story. I walked with Jesus, been a good life. I got to convert people, saw miracles. I got to see the Messiah. We've been waiting for him. We've been waiting for him for a very, very long time. And he showed up. I got to walk with him. I got to see miracles. I got to eat with him. My head was on his breast. He died, and I got to see him resurrected. I've had a blessed life, and here I am on a prison island. And this is probably the end. But he didn't just say that's the end. I'm tucked away here, but this natural space has been confined, but my spirit man is still alive. And I recognize, maybe I'm stuck in a corner because my physical works are to be limited right now, but my spiritual works are supposed to be increased. Listen, I believe there's some women in here right now, and you got some heavy times. Your kids are going through some things. Your family's going through some things. You feel like you're trapped in a corner. And if you choose to, you can meditate on the problems and let that define you. You can let your natural circumstances define your influence. I'm here to let you know it's possible God has you in that corner because it's time for your spirit man to grow. And when you begin to lift up your voice in worship, it brings a whole different atmosphere. You hear what I'm telling you? It brings a whole different atmosphere. When you sing worship songs, you literally get to hyperlink your faith to someone's faith who was at a mountaintop when they wrote the song. You don't have to muster it up on your own. Well, I'm blue right now. Oh, man, things are bad. But when my kids get right, then I'm going to worship God. Well, if you're going to wait until your circumstances change to worship, your circumstances are probably never going to change. What you say is, I need a mountaintop experience. I need a mountaintop experience. I need to see the promised land from the mountaintop. Well, what you do is you find you a song that was written on the mountaintop. Come on now. And you connect yourself to that song with a spirit of expectation and a spirit of who God is and a spirit of what God can do. And you begin to sing that song. I tell you, that same atmosphere that wrote that song begins to dwell up in your heart. And as that thing begins to rise up like a fountain, then all of a sudden, you're no longer confined to your circumstances. You begin to define your circumstance. Oh, I see the lights are even agreeing with me. Hallelujah. I'm getting an amen in the natural right now. Watch out now. Come on. So in the midst of this worship, and I tell you, I look for opportunities to worship in times that I may never pass through again. I love it. I get persecution come to me. I'm like, wow, I haven't heard that accusation about me anymore. I'm going to worship right here because I'll never, in Jesus' name, ever get to worship in this atmosphere again. Right now. I like to worship and hear God. See it every week. I'll be over here worshiping Jesus. People laid out on the ground. What are they doing? Seeing Jesus. Jesus is speaking. A little secret to my ministry. Majority of the revelation I get is in the midst of worship. I've had my very call defined in the midst of worship. Very often I will be in worship and giving my heart and singing at the top of my lungs and giving my body to worship and declaring who Jesus is. And in the midst of that, heavens begin to open for me. And I lay on the ground because I don't want to be distracted. I lay on the ground and I'm seeing Jesus and I prostrate myself and he begins to talk to me. He showed me this entire church one day in a vision in the middle of a youth meeting. I saw angels. They opened the heavens. There was my call right there. So here's your call. What are you willing to pay for it? Right there in the midst of heaven. Right in the midst of worship. Revelation came right in the middle of worship. So as you're worshiping Jesus here in this church or at home or in your car or wherever you're locked away in your cell, you begin to worship. So you get a revelation of how God is bigger than your circumstances. Amen? You with me, right? Number two, I'm moving fast. Moving fast here for me. Number two, in the midst of worship, you get direction. If you got a Bible, go ahead and to the left and turn to Genesis chapter 17. Say, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this decision. Begin to worship. Begin to worship. Get the atmosphere of heaven. All wisdom is in God. All knowledge is in God. Begin to worship. Change your atmosphere. Genesis chapter 17, you all know the story. Abraham, confused, clearly confused. I got to tell you, if you're married and you think being with another woman is going to solve any problems, you are confused. You are walking in a spirit of stupid. You need to start worshiping. Your eye starts wandering. You think, if only I would have married. Spirit of stupid. Don't go there. Be faithful and worship. Ladies, oh, he's so disappointing. I wonder if spirit of stupid, worship. Are you with me, right? Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99, say 99. 99. That's old. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you. It may multiply you greatly. Then Abraham had a choice. God spoke and he had a choice. God called Abraham and he had a choice. Am I going to follow? Am I going to say okay and walk away? What am I going to do? Many people, they feel the Spirit of God coming into the room. Begin to like maybe feel yourself tear up a little bit, get the little goosebumps. Maybe you remember something. Maybe you begin to get overwhelmed a little bit, a little verklempt, you know. What are you going to do? You going to try to keep it together? Get yourself composed? Oh, wow, don't want to get too emotional here. Whew, stop singing. Let the song pass, catch your breath, jump back in. What do you do? What you do in those moments defines what you get. It defines what comes next. Literally, when you begin to feel the Spirit move, it's an invitation. It's the same thing that Abraham got right here. I mean, you may not hear the audible voice, but it's an invitation. Are you going to come deeper? You want to come deeper? You want to come deeper? It's going to cost you a little bit, but do you want to come deeper? Listen, you want to follow me and give up everything and follow me? Is that what you want to do? You want to come? Whew, 1 second. I'm going to stop worshiping. Whew, starting to get a little emotional there. Let me get it back together. Let me get back in the flesh. I don't want to move in the Spirit too much. Let me. Okay, now I got self-control again. Let me go back at it. I don't want self-control. I want God control. What did Abraham do? It says here, we're going to go back to verse 2. God tells him that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Verse 3, Genesis 17:3. Then Abraham fell on his face. Surrendered, right there. What are you going to do? God says, man, you just go over there and I'm going to bless you. You run, just run. I dare you to run around the room 3 times right now. You know how many times I hear people say, man, I felt like running in the middle of that song, but I didn't do it. Why not? Well, I didn't want to look bad. To who, God? Who would you not want to look bad to? Who are you surrendering to? You're going to surrender to somebody. You're going to surrender to God or you're going to surrender to popular opinion? I'm here to let you know only one has eternal reward. Listen, what we do in here on Sunday is supposed to affect the rest of your week. This isn't the high point of your week. If this is the high point of your week, you're missing something. This should be the low point at the beginning. You came here empty because you've poured it out all week. I want to get filled up in here, and I want to just pour myself out all week. And then in here is where I learn to follow God. In here is where I learn to obey and hear His voice. Here's where I get my deliverance. Here's where I get my infilling. Here's where I get my impartation. This isn't where I look cute. I want to look cute to the world. I want to look cute in here. And here's where I want to pour it out. I want to be an offering right here to Jesus, right here at the altar. I'm going to give it all away right here. I don't get dressed up for this. I get dressed up for that. I don't want the world to see my problems. I need you to see my problems so I can get fixed. Oh, I think that brother's going through something. No, man, I'm good. Well, how are you going to get healed? You going to go to the world and get healed? You're going to have an atmosphere of heaven at your workplace? My God, from Zion, you better get it here. Here's where you pour it out. Listen, worship starts. You don't want to be drinking coffee or sitting in the back. I'm not talking about anybody. But my God, we only do it for a half an hour, once a week. Where are you going to get it? You want to be right here, 10:30. We're going to do a song before worship? Because I'm ready. 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 Verse 3, Abraham fell on his face. Watch this. And God said to him, think God would have kept calling if he didn't get on his face? You think so? You don't know God. I want to react quickly. We learned in our first point, John was on the island of Patmos on the Lord's day in the Spirit, heard a voice, come up here. Instantly, he was in heaven. I don't want to be the, I've been trying to call you for 2 weeks kind of a guy with God. You hear what I'm saying? I want to be a man. I was in the Spirit the Lord called. Instantly, I was in the heavens. The Lord came and talked to Abram, fell on his face, and the Lord began to give him directions. He says, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. His name got changed that day because he responded to worship. He got a new identity. You got issues in your life? 10:30, we start worshiping. Pour yourself out and see what God calls you. Come on, somebody's getting this. I feel the anointing rolling in right now. Begin to worship with abandon and see what God calls you. So we get revelation, number one. Number two, we get direction. Number three, Mikey, come on up. I'm like, wow, is the service going to be over? No. No, it is not. Number three, you ready for this one? I like this one. Number three, we get breakthrough. Wow. Number three, we get breakthrough. Hallelujah. Oh, Pastor, I don't know if I can come to church this week. I'm going through some things. You going to get that fixed not being at church? Where are you going to get that fixed? I'm going through some things, Pastor. It's been rough. Yeah, I know, because you ain't been coming to church. And when you come, you ain't worshiping. You ain't giving. You ain't fellowshipping. You doing you. You coming to church, but still being you. Y'all don't want to help nobody. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I always wanted to say that. Acts 16:25. We got another jail story. There's a lot of thugs in the Bible. They getting locked up all the time. You turn them down a little bit, sound man, while I'm up here talking, if you don't mind. This ain't date night. Acts 16:25. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, they're locked up. They're in the prison. You know why they were in jail? Because they cast the devil out of somebody. We'd be a church full of locked up people up in here. Paul got upset with a girl. He's like, I'm just going to cast the devil out of you. We're going to stop this nonsense. He said, well, then we're going to put you in jail. What? So he's sitting in jail. Paul and Silas, they're just sitting in jail. Wrongly. I know people complaining going to jail because they were drug dealers. I'm like, you belong in jail. That's where you need to be. I don't know how many of you have been in full-time ministry. People come to you, Pastor, you know, I've got an indictment. You know, they're talking about many years. What'd you do? Shot someone. Like, I hope they win. Good Lord. I see how you live. I'm on these streets. You need to be in jail. Corey and I were talking about somebody we know who wants to be in the music business. I was like, you know, I'm a little conflicted. Music isn't exactly righteous, but I want, you know, good things for them. Corey's like, I don't want them popular and influencing my kids 10 years from now. That's another way to look at it right there. Lord, make them write worship songs and make them very successful. But these guys didn't do nothing wrong but cast the devil out of somebody, right? And they're in jail. The Bible says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. You see, when you're getting squeezed, the world is watching how Christians behave. They criticize us so much because they're expecting us to be carriers of light. Verse 26, and suddenly, say suddenly. Look for suddenlies when you read the Bible. Because they're almost always exciting. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Now, how many of you know an earthquake is not going to open up handcuffs? Are you with me? Earthquake does not open up. That's the angel of breakthrough. That's the angel of breakthrough came in the room. When the angel of breakthrough comes in the room, everyone who's worshiping, boom. The people around you, boom. Say, so you don't have no choice but to be free. I'm worshiping. I ain't never going to be a Christian. Oh, that's not your choice. Because I'm a worshiper. And I'll tell you what, you go out there and do what you... Parents, you need to just let your kids know. Oh, you go and do your thing. That's all right. Watch what happens about midnight tonight. When I'm worshiping. I done left something in your car. You don't even know it. Angel of breakthrough. Now, this is going to sound silly to some of you. I had a relative who was living foul. Anybody got a relative living foul? Anybody just... I used to go over their house. Then we'd be talking. I'd just be touching walls. In the name of Jesus. They're like, what you doing? I'm touching walls. Why are you touching walls? I'm claiming this for Jesus. You got a boyfriend, puts his hands on you, I bet you that stops. Touching walls. I said, I just want to let you know that I'm leaving something here, and I wish that would happen again. Homie got arrested next day. I ain't playing. I serve a God who's alive. I serve a God who's alive. I'm a worshiper. I bring the atmosphere of heaven with me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm setting people free whether you want to be free or not. You don't want to be free, don't hang out with me. Because I'm worshiping. It's either I get your bondage or you get my freedom. Guess which way it's going to flow. Because I done been over there, I ain't going back. Come on now. He said, when the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Some of you, can I just say this? You get free and your family act like they're going to kill themselves because now you're living righteous. You ever have that happen? Oh, you going to church all the time now. Why can't you go back to going to the club? Do you understand what you just said? That's that spirit of stupid pastor was talking about right there. I didn't even realize it. You're about to kill your own self because I'm happy. You could be free too. Somebody about to kill himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice, don't harm yourself, we're here. And the jailer done lost his mind. He called for lights, rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down. Look what he did. He had an invitation. You see this, right? These are the people that had Paul in bondage. But Paul was a worshiper. His worshiping spirit of breakthrough came. The very people who were oppressing him came down and they had an opportunity. What are they going to do? Trembling in fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Verse 30. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's my God. All right, so we talked about, you know, expecting things in worship. And Lillian's going to expand a little bit upon that idea, our worship leader. So give a big shout. Give a God bless you to Lillian. Here, you want that one? No, use this one. Use that one. It's going to have effects on it. This one will be clean. We're just working stuff out here. We got the roadies up here on stage. We're working stuff out. Hold on. Ready? Get it. Boom. There you go. Come on over here. Where are you going to? No, you're going to be right here, front center. Lillian has been dying to preach on a Sunday morning. I don't know. Let me rephrase that. She's been dying because she has to preach on a Sunday morning. Stretch your hand towards her. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the depth of revelation that's inside your daughter. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would give her that anointing to preach, but not so much of it that it takes a very long time, but enough that she gets great revelation as she's sharing this. And Lord, let the eternal words that it doesn't have to be everlasting to be eternal. In Jesus' name, give a God bless you to Lillian Davis.
Thank you. So first, I just want to thank the pastors of this church for letting me speak today. It's an honor for me to be up here sharing with the church. As most of you know, my name is Lillian Davis, and I'm the worship leader, one of the worship directors of Revival Life Church. And I took over about a year ago from the previous worship director, and God has really been just expanding what worship means to me, really just drawing me into studying what worship is, why we do the things we do here on Sunday morning. And I just have a real passion to see what's going to happen with the music of this church, to raise up musicians, to really cultivate a culture of worship, if you will, here. So at Revival Life Church, we place a high importance on the worship. Yeah. It's not just something that we do before the pastor comes up and preaches. Yeah. Like, we really believe that God does something yeah. in that 35, 40 minutes, and we get a lot out of it. Amen? Yeah. So what I would like for you guys to take out of today's message is what are praise and worship, and what are some of the key differences between the two? Just some quick dictionary definitions. The definition of praise: to proclaim glorious attributes, to rave about. This has a lot to do with Thanksgiving. When we praise God, we're giving him thanks for everything he is to us and everything he's done for us. And then worship, on the other hand, is to express adoration, honor, and reverence. And this is usually intertwined with surrender. As Pastor was preaching earlier this morning, when we worship, we're surrendering ourselves to the Lord. It's not just singing songs. So just to recap, praise is thanksgiving, while worship is surrender. There are many things that can be different between praise and worship. They're not the same thing. But today we're just going to go over three key points, three key differences between praise and worship. Number one, praise is our approach to God, while worship is our response to God. And if you're not taking notes, I just encourage you to take notes, because I really believe that this is going to open up what praise and worship mean to you, coming with an understanding of what they are. So I'll just say that again. Number one, praise is our approach to God, while worship is our response to God. Praise is the way that the Bible tells us to come to the Lord. Psalm 101 says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." It goes on to say, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." What does this mean? Praise is the easiest way that we can get near to God. You're going through the week and you're like, "God, I need your presence. I need your touch right now." What's the easiest way that you can get into God's presence? Is to meditate on who he is in your life. To thank him for everything he's done. It's how we enter God's presence, by meditating on his goodness. Meditating on the testimony of who God has been to us draws his presence near to us. On the other hand, worship happens once God's presence is already in the room. It's our response to God's coming. We approach God with a sacrifice of praise, and then what happens when God comes near? That's worship. Time and time again, we see that scripture, as Pastor showed, when God comes, people fall on their face. In the Bible, I mean, over and over again, God's presence enters the room and people can't even stand. Amen. They fall on their face, and it's complete surrender to him. That's what worship is. The Lord comes into the room and we reverence the moment and surrender to him. My second point, praise is for us. Worship is for God. As we meditate on the goodness of God and all that he's done for us, as we declare it with our mouth, which is praise, thanksgiving, our faith increases. Have you ever woken up on a Sunday morning, you don't want to go to church, you're tired? I'm the worship leader, and I wake up tired sometimes. I'm like, this week was hard. I get here, and I have to press in for my own breakthrough. I'm like, Lord, you know, help me today. You don't feel like worshiping. You have like this apathy on you. And then you stand up and we start singing songs and you start saying out loud, like that song, the first song we did, "You Are Good." You start singing out loud, "Lord, you're good. You did this for me. Lord, you're good. You saved me. Lord, you're good. You set me free from sin. Lord, you're good. You've given me so much breakthrough, God. Thank you for the breakthrough in my finances, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the breakthrough in my family, God. Thank you for the changes that I've seen. Thank you for how you use me." You start to say these things, and all of a sudden, that apathy, that laziness, that fatigue, you don't feel it anymore. It's you've broken free of that. That's why praise is for us. It's our coming to him with thanksgiving and our chains being broken and coming into his presence. That's how we come into his presence. Not only do you gain freedom, but like I said, your faith increases for who God can be in your life. Yeah. Because you say it, you meditate on who he is and what he's done, and all of a sudden, the things that you thought he couldn't touch, the things that seem so far away, seem so close to you. Worship, on the other hand, is for the Lord. And not that praise isn't for God. That's not what I'm saying. But once we have a revelation of who God is in our lives and who he can be, then we can answer his call to worship him. John 4:23 says, "But the hour is coming and now is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." God is calling us to worship him. He's looking for worshipers. He's looking for people that can gain a revelation of how big he is in their lives and answer the call with true surrender. And my third point, praise is with our actions, while worship is with our lives. Praise is usually done with music and dancing and singing and shouting. We come in here Sunday morning, we praise first. We get here, we get free, we dance, we break the chains off. The Bible talks about praise him with instruments, praise him with singing, praise him with dancing. It's expressed through our actions. It's expressed with our mouths. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done. That's praise. But on the other hand, although worship can be done with music, it's not music. It's not the 35 minutes before a service. Worship it's a lifestyle of worship. Yeah. Romans 12:1 says, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." The Bible says that presenting your body as a living sacrifice is worship. It doesn't even mention having to sing. But it's the way that you present yourself to the Lord, holy and acceptable. That's worship. Every time that you make a righteous choice, every time that you give an offering, every time that you have faith for something you didn't have before, every time you choose God's business over yourself, that is worship. It's a lifestyle. It's a choice in your mind. You're saying, I am choosing to live for God. That is what he wants. That is who he's called us to be. True worshipers, true followers of him. If I can have the worship team come back up.
Before they play, you have a little more you want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Whatever that was. Hold on to it for a second. I want to ask you a couple questions.
Sure.
Okay. So, since you're a worship leader, it's really easy for you to enter into worship, right? Like, your life is like singing and walking around and you're writing songs and like a fairy tale, right?
No.
No. How are you able to come in here and worship? I mean, what do you do in your life to, how would they cultivate a lifestyle of this worship you're talking about?
Well, any opportunity I get, I will come to God with thanksgiving, and I just begin to meditate on who he's been in my life, who he's called me to be. And he, in doing that, he begins to look so much more powerful in my eyes, and I'm able to enter into his presence by worshiping, by singing songs, and really just believing that the Lord has called me. He's called me to be a worshiper. He's called me to be his daughter. And any opportunity, like I said, that I get.
What are some opportunities? Like, you lay around and worship for 3-4 hours a day? Do you?
I wish.
You do? Okay.
And I would love to do that.
When do you do most of your worship?
I do most of my worship actually in my car.
Really?
Yes. Because
you can do that in your car? Didn't have to be at church?
No.
Or in your living room?
No.
Talk about that.
Every day, I drive a very far way to get to my job right now. It's over an hour. And so
they're saying tear them out there. Wow, she has a job?
Yes, like, I have a job.
I want a job. That's.
It's over an hour commute to work, and sometimes on the way back, because Boca is so wonderful, it's about an hour and 15, an hour and a half. And, you know, there's sometimes that I'll get in my car and I'll forget. You know, I'll just be driving, and the Lord will remind me, and I'll plug in my phone, and I'll put on songs that mean something to me, songs that build me up, songs that really activate who I am. And I'll just begin to worship him in my car. And God's presence comes very strong sometimes. And even there's times where I will get a vision or a word for how God wants it to look on Sunday mornings. And that's usually when I get the revelation of how God wants to move. I'll get prophetic songs while I'm in my car worshiping. And God will just show me what he's going to do on a Sunday morning so I can actually pray into that and lean into what he wants to do. And that's mostly where I worship.
Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. So you worship in your car.
Mm-hmm.
You choose a lifestyle of worship. For me, and let me just say this. I want to be a worshiper. I want to be a worshiper with my life, right?
Amen.
And I don't live holy because I'm scared of God. I live holy because I found that sin blocks my worship.
Yeah.
I have found it very hard to be in God's presence when I'm dealing with sin. Is it just me or?
No.
I like being in God's presence.
Yeah.
I find when I'm in his presence, life is better. And so I want to live a life that helps me to, so like when I get that temptation, it's not, you know, wow, I can't do that because, it's not, I can't do it. Sure, go, you know, be stupid. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to do. No, I want to live holy because I so long to live a life of worship.
Amen.
And so you can go and finish, then we're going to go in some songs.
Yeah, we're going to go back into some song. But before we do, I want to challenge you today. I know there's people in here that I say every week, come to the front. If you've never been up to the front, come to the front. It's really free, and it is. Praise God. So there might be people in the crowd that have never come to the front during worship, or you might not raise your hands, or you might not jump around. And I just want to challenge you today. What would true surrender to God look like right now, here, in this worship service? You're here for a reason. What would true surrender to God, what is he calling you to surrender? Is it the way you look to people? Is it maybe your reputation that you don't want to give up? What would true surrender look like right now in this moment?
Let me add into that, if you don't mind.
Sure.
As you can get ready to sing, you can switch your mics, that's what you need to do. Stand with me if you would. We're going to turn off the lights, and I want to challenge you as we get into these songs. And let's get the monitors fixed, if we can move this right here. I want to challenge you to talk to God. God, what, you know, Lillian brought this word. What is it you want me to give up in my life? What do you want me to go after in my life? What do you want me to walk in my life? What do you want me to seek in my life? What do you want me to do? Listen, close your eyes if you would. I want to pray. Isaac, get these monitors on stage, please. Thanks. Thanks, buddy. Close your eyes. Let's begin to pray. Father, Father, you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, right now. Jesus, that you would be so near right now. Jesus, that you would be so near right now, Lord. That you would be so near right now. That you will be so near right now. Come on, just begin in your heart to worship him. Respond to his presence right now. We're gonna be done in about 15 minutes. It's a little long, but I don't apologize. He's worth it. Holy Ghost, right now. There's freedom in the house right now. Your bridegroom is calling right now. The lover of your soul is calling right now. How will you respond? This Father of lights, he's calling right now. The one who formed you in your mother's womb, the one who sent his son to die on a cross for you, is calling you right now. How will you respond right now? Just begin to respond right now with your heart. I feel the anointing in the room. I feel the presence of God moving right now. He's touching hearts right now. I see he's consoling hearts right now. There's some of you who are dealing with some hard things, and I see him speaking encouragement to you. That he's going to strengthen you in this journey. He's going to strengthen you and be with you. I see it right now that you're not alone. I hear him speaking it. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. I hear him saying it, I'm with you. I hear him saying, I'm with you. I hear him saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Respond right now. John heard, come up here, and immediately he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Abram heard a call. He fell to his face and responded. Paul and Silas were in a hard spot. They brought the presence of God, and the jailer responded to that presence. How are you going to respond today? Don't focus on what you want God to do. Focus on what He wants you to do. I found you do your part, He'll do His part. Our problem is we keep trying to do His part. We wonder why He doesn't do our part. Come on, begin to respond in faith. Begin to respond in faith right now. Lord, I hear you. Lord, I hear you. Lord, I hear you. Come on, respond in faith. I know in a room this size, there's generally a couple people who are away from the Lord. I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Him right now. I'm not going to have an altar call. At the end of service, Diane St. Severe is going to be over here, and she's going to pray with you and just kind of help you walk through some things. But right now, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Some of you are here, and it's not a coincidence. The Father loves you. He's welcoming you home. You're His son. You're His daughter. He loves you. He loves you, and He's missed you. He has better plans for you than what you've been living through. Right now, He's inviting you into a life of surrender. So if I can have everybody, every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give you an opportunity to surrender. Nobody on the worship team looking around, none of the ushers, none of the sound man. Close your eyes and bow your head, please. If you're saying, today I want to give my life to Christ, that's me right now. I want to get right with God. Just put your hand up and down. Just saying, I'm in sin and I want to get out of sin. I see you. Who else? Who else? Anybody else in the room? Up and down real fast. It's between me and you. I see you in the back. Anybody else? Anybody else? Today's your day. Today's your day. You want to respond to what God is doing in your heart right now. He's drawing you. I'm going to challenge you to respond right now. Anybody else? It's between me and you. Anybody want to join these two people who have already said, that's me. Listen, this is between you and God. We're going to worship now, and I want you to respond to Him.